I love hearing Susan share, because what was so obvious just now is that actually Jesus came to do away with all of the rubbish that people are into, with all of the ways we try and, you know, con one another and rip each other off. And Jesus is like, no, this is the way. Let's walk together. I love that. So how good is Jesus, hey? So good. So if you're joining us for the first time, you're in this building for the first time and you're like, what is going on? I want you to know there's nothing you need to do. You can just take it all in. And I'd love to meet you. I'd love to meet you afterwards. So welcome. We have been going through a series about... Oh, yeah, rest. In my brain, it's Sabbath. But yes, rest. We're calling it rest. And so in our culture, something that's pretty elusive, really, who feels like, man, I just had a really good rest yesterday. Anyone? No one. Are you serious? Oh, great. Love it. Love it. Great. I had a good rest yesterday. It was so good. Duncan came over. We had a cup of tea. We talked about Lost in Space and whatnot. It was great. Rest is something that's pretty elusive to us, hey? And so we talked last week a little bit about what is Sabbath, what is the idea of it, what's the point of it, should we even do it? We're going to continue talking about that today. And so just in case you missed out, we said that Sabbath is rest from working, wanting, and worrying. Working, wanting, and worrying. And so we talked about creating a time frame and like margin in your life. Lena... Hey, to do that when we need to set aside time in our life to actually rest, because who knows that rest doesn't happen on its own. If you wait to rest, you won't rest. Who knows, sometimes you don't rest until you burn out or you get sick. Anyone? Crazy. Why would we do this to ourselves? Unbelievable. So we talked about the restlessness that most of humanity feels when our God-shaped desires go unfulfilled. And we talked about the restlessness of an unfinished symphony. Do you remember that picture? That actually happened this morning and I got in big trouble for it. I was at the sound desk and we were playing a song. It's like an Easter song, and it's like at the best part where it's talking about Jesus rising from the dead, and I actually closed the window and it just went quiet and everyone was like, oh, it's that feeling of restlessness. Like, this symphony is unfinished. We know there's something good coming, but it's not finished right now. And that's the reality of our life here on earth, right? Lots of theologians call that the now and not yet of the gospel. So the gospel, the kingdom of God, has been initiated with Jesus. But it's like, and it's good, and it's like getting there, and it's getting better and better all the time, but it's like not complete. And this feeling of restlessness we have in our lives. But there is good news. Tell someone next to you there's good news. Unless they're a new person, leave them alone. Don't freak them out. There is good news. Jesus comes into the mess of this restlessness. Remember, we talked about the Christmas carol that says, "A weary world rejoices. A weary world rejoices." I love that. So there is good news. Jesus comes into this mess and he says something so compelling that you would have to be blinded by distraction and just not, to not even respond to something like this. And we read in Matthew 11, we have it on the screen, Matthew 11:28. And I hope you've memorized it. Did anyone decide to memorize it? Yes, Steve, you're my man. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," implying I have a different way for you to carry life that will help you. "Learn from me," he says, "for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, my way, that's what that means, my way of living is easy, and my burden is light." So wonderful. And we ask the question, do we view rest and Sabbath and sleep? Who had a good sleep last night? Oh, so good. Do we view these things as essential to our apprenticeship to Jesus? There's some laughing going on. I feel like you were you out like really late? 3 a.m.? No. And here's why this is important. Here's why rest is important. We simply cannot be a person of love without rest. We cannot live the life that Jesus has on offer if we are not rested. John Mark Comer, who we've been learning from a lot, he says 80% of loving well is just being emotionally healthy and spiritually awake. So good. So when we're not rested, it doesn't matter how many times we go to church, how many prayer meetings we attend, how many times we pray in tongues naked on the roof. Don't do that. I'm not recommending it. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. None of those religious things, they're good things, and we'll talk about that, but none of these activities in themselves matter if you are not rested and grounded in the Spirit of God, like you haven't taken time to rest and to be with God. Because who knows, anyone could jump up here on the stage, and like you guys did so good this morning, I loved it. We should just worship all morning. Anyone can jump up here and sing a song, but how different is it when someone comes up here and you can just tell that they've spent time with the Lord and they're, as they're singing over us, they have something to offer us because they're like, this is the rest that I've found in Jesus and here it is and let's sing together. It's just different, isn't it? It's so different, so different. So what we do with our bodies, we said, matters to God. I don't know if you've heard that before in churches like ours. What you do with your body matters to God. And not just to God, it or what we do with our bodies that he gave us, it actually matters to the mission of the gospel and to the people who need to receive God's love through you. It matters. And so Sabbath is not just stopping our bodies from working. It's to stop from wanting. Remember the materialism we talked about? Wanting, and it's to stop from worrying because Jesus is like, I'll give you rest for your soul for a measure of time and not waiting until we burn out and get sick. And I'm guilty of that, and maybe you are too. So today, very quickly, I know we're running out of time, we're going to trace this idea of Sabbath through the scriptures a little bit. I was going to go like as far as I could through the Bible, but we're probably only going to make it to Deuteronomy today, so it's going to be fine. It's all good. Say Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that God rested. And we asked the question last week, does God get tired? Does God get tired? Like, you know when you're feeling, like, does he get hangry? We talked about hangry last week and we explained, if you're not from Australia, hangry is that feeling that you have when you're really hungry and you just start getting agitated at everything. Who feels like that sometimes? Hangry, Grace, I got you. It's 20 minutes between you being a different person and maybe committing a crime. Like, that's what the low blood sugar does to you. But that's not what God is like, right? So why did God rest? Why did God need to rest? And we talked about this idea that the word rest, where we see in Genesis chapter 2, we can translate it as, yes, like stopping, resting, stopping, but also delighting, delighting. When was the last time you sat in your yard, if you have a yard, or in your living room or wherever you were, and just looked around and you were just grateful that you had food to eat, and you were grateful that there was a tree outside, and you were grateful that you had a roof over your head, and you just delighted in God's goodness to you because he is good. And even delighted in like God's character, because sometimes we forget how kind and compassionate and wonderful he is, and you just delighted in this idea of, wow, God, you're so amazing. When was the last time you did that? Yesterday, yes. Someone had a Sabbath yesterday and it was good. So rest, it seems that rest, Sabbath, is rest and worship. It's two things, rest and worship. So the essence of Sabbath is to stop and to delight and to be grateful and content in a world that is not yet but will one day be restored, which is the final rest. How good is that? I'm going to skip through a bunch of stuff this morning, but I'm going to read this quote for you. And it's from a guy called Wayne Muller. He says this: in the restlessness and busyness of modern life, we have lost the rhythm between work and rest. All of life requires a rhythm of rest, he writes. There is a rhythm in our waking activity and in the body's need for sleep. There is a rhythm in the way that day dissolves into night and night turns into morning. There is a rhythm as the active growth of spring and summer is quieted by the necessary dormancy of fall and winter. There is a tidal rhythm, a deep, eternal conversation between the land and the great sea. He writes, in our bodies, the heart rests after each life-giving beat. The lungs rest between exhale and inhale. And we have lost this essential rhythm, he writes. perhaps we're going against the rhythm that God himself has set for us in creation. It's just one thing I want to suggest this morning. I read an article, because who knows that everything on the internet is 100% true. I read an article a few days ago, and this is what it said. I think we have a list on the screen. This is what it said, before you put that up, Abby. It says, most major religions call for a day of rest. It has been getting harder and harder to take a day of rest, because we are chained to our devices and constantly online, and now science supports this claim about the power of a day of rest. And this article suggests 12 scientific reasons that a regular rest time every week, whenever you choose to make it happen, why it really works. So let's look at this list together. Next slide, Abby. Weekly rest reduces stress. Yes, anyone? Yeah, reduces stress, gives you an opportunity to move your body in the way that it needs. Who sits down a lot for their job? You're in an office? Yeah, I do too. So it's important to move our bodies. It reduces inflammation and lowers the risk of heart disease, you guys, if we rest. Boosts our immune system, increases our quality of sleep, adds years to your life. Resources our mental energy, or I should say restores our mental energy, allows your brain to creatively problem solve. You know when you wake up in the morning and you've had a really good sleep, and suddenly that thing you were worried about last night, you're like, oh, I can totally do that. That's this problem solving that we're talking about. Increases productivity, improved focus, improves short-term memory, increases job satisfaction when you're rested. Who knows that? So good. It's almost like God knew, and now our culture is catching up on this idea that it is important to rest. We're talking about more than just physical rest this morning, but I thought, what an interesting thing. So let's go to Exodus chapter 20. If you have your Bibles really quick, we're going to fly through it. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2. So if you know anything about the Bible, this is like the Ten Commandments. And in verse 2, God says, I am the Lord your God. He's talking about God's people who he has just bought out of slavery. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Perhaps go back and read them all later, okay? But I'm going to skip to verse 8. And it says this, remember the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, not you or your sons and daughters or anyone else in your household. It talks about male and female servants. It talks about even animals and no foreigners even residing in the town. No one, everyone rests. No one does work. And then verse 11, for which we can kind of say, because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's within them, but he rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So God's like, here's my plan. You guys have been slaves for ages. You don't know what it's like to take a day off, because your worth as a person was tied up in your productivity. Has anyone felt like that? If I don't do, then I'm not good enough. But this is like on a massive scale. We've got like our first world problems of like working too much, right? But these guys are enslaved for years and years and years. And God's like, this is the plan. Things are going to be different now. So have a day of rest. I've already blessed this day of rest. It's meant to be a blessing to you, not a drag. And I've already made it holy. And holy here just means like set apart or other. So it's like different to all of the other days. So it's important just to talk very quickly about, is there a difference between a day off and a Sabbath day, a day of rest? And of course, the answer is yes, there is. And so just to throw it out there for you, Friday is my day off and Saturday is my Sabbath at the moment. That's how it's working for our family. So Friday for me is cleaning, it's prep, it's go to the dentist, do the groceries, all of those kinds of things that you do on your day off, right? And Saturday is like reading and friends and remembering the closeness of God. We're bringing God into this Sabbath situation and we're resting from worrying and wanting and working. Let's also not confuse relaxation with restoration, because it's good to relax, right? And you should do it. It's great. It's great. When we invite the Spirit of God into our rest, that's when we get that soul and spirit restoration that our hearts and our spirits are usually longing for. The guy who owns Netflix, when someone asked him if he was worried about the competition of other streaming services, is quoted as saying, "Oh, our only competition is sleep." I know. So totally watch a movie if you want. That's not what I'm saying. But Sabbath is resting from working, worrying, wanting by stopping to be aware of God. So totally watch a movie, but let's just put Star Wars in its proper place on our Sabbath day or whenever it is, and not forget that we still create room for gratitude and solitude and scripture and prayer, like feasting together. Do you know feasting is a spiritual discipline? You want to talk about that? This year we'll talk about it. It's going to be great. Eating together, being together, prayer, all of the good things. This is what it means to Sabbath. Sometimes our kids find chocolate in Coles and they'll be, oh, it's mostly Joseph and he's away today, so it's okay if I talk about him. He's like, oh, Mom, can we please get this block of chocolate? I'm like, no, buddy, no. We've got so much stuff at home. We don't need any more stuff. It's like, but Mom, it's for Sabbath. I know. They know how to get me. They just start talking about the Bible and I'm like, okay, sure. So we're going to skip down now. And just to slide 9, Abby, and I just wanted to address this because some of you might be thinking over the last few weeks and even into this, we've got one more week of Sabbath to go, that Sabbath is like, it's the old covenant. It's the old way of knowing God. So let's talk about this for a moment. Is Sabbath outdated? Is it an outdated practice? So you can argue, and lots of people do, that the Sabbath is is from the old covenant, and that is totally fine. And you don't have to keep it if you don't want to. This is not a salvation issue. You're not going to not be with the Lord at the end of your days because you didn't Sabbath, but you might be with him sooner if you don't. I don't know. That just came to me just now. So we can argue, we can say that, and you don't have to do it if you don't want to. And last week we said that basic morality is a command, but human flourishing, emotional, spiritual flourishing is an invitation from the Lord. It's an invitation. One of my favourite theologians, N.T. Wright, he says, the Sabbath candles, which we're going to talk about, so cool, the Sabbath candles were the sign that one day God's new day would dawn. And Jesus was declaring that that day had come at last. So wonderful. So he's leaning towards this idea that we don't really need to Sabbath anymore, and that's fine, and I love him, and he's awesome, and he's probably right. The now and not yet of the kingdom, right? This is from John Dixon, who is an Australian Anglican who I love. He writes this, Christians have differed among themselves about whether we're obligated to take a day off every week. Some have been very strict about it, especially in the British and Australian traditions. It's easy to forget that the ban on Sunday trading, which came from the Christian ideas about Sabbath, was only formally lifted in Australia in the 1990s. Does anyone remember that? Yeah. Other Christians, especially in Europe, have seen the regular Sabbath rest as more of a divine symbol and a gift than a moral obligation. And that's cool, right? For example, John Calvin in the 16th century, he argued that the Sabbath is first a picture of salvation, which we're going to talk about, but second, that it's the time that people should go to church. And thirdly, he writes, Sabbath is proof that God wants to give a day of rest to servants and to those who are under the authority of others in order that they should also have respite from toil. So John Dixon writes, I don't think we're obligated to take a day off every week. However, I also think that our society is diminished by not having a shared civic day of rest. Either way, one thing is clear to me, he writes, as I reflect on the teaching of Jesus and the wider New Testament, rest from earthly toil is sacred. And because it is sacred, it is a potent sign of the heavenly rest which God offers to each and every one. So good. So good. So I wonder if keeping the Sabbath of some description, whatever that might look like for you, is not really worth arguing over. But it is probably worth some kind of wrestling with. And that's what I would suggest for all of us this morning. Let's just wrestle with this idea. Because God actually instituted the Sabbath for a reason. And, we might be under the new covenant, but we're still humans with bodies. and spirits and souls that need rest. So you can decide what to do with that. All that to say, you can decide. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. You probably heard that lots of times. And all that means is the Sabbath was a gift that was meant to be a blessing rather than a burden to those who observe it. So that's a good thing to remember too. I'm going to ask the whole team to come if that's okay. The whole team to come. And we're just going to take a moment. The last thing I want to tell you about is the idea of Sabbath as resistance. Tell the person next to you, resistance. That's like from Star Wars 2, guys. The resistance, you know. Sabbath as resistance. So there's like 40 years between Exodus and Deuteronomy, right? Deuteronomy, which we didn't even get to. In Deuteronomy, we see the Ten Commandments, Moses telling the Ten Commandments to a new generation of people. So the first generation who heard this first version of the Ten Commandments, they're all like old, some of them have died, this new generation of people. And Moses is like, hey, these are the commandments that God gave us. This is what he said, right? And he recounts them again to these people in Deuteronomy. But in Exodus, we read, remember the Sabbath is the beginning of that command. In Deuteronomy, we read, observe the Sabbath. So remember, as in, remember how God brought you out of Egypt and you get a rest now because you're no longer slaves. How good is that? And observe, we use this language when we talk about like public holidays and stuff in Australia because Australians love to rest. We use this language like we observe the Queen's birthday or whatever it is. So observe, like, did you know the word holiday actually comes from holy day? Holy day. And observe here means to watch over it and to guard it and to protect it. That's so interesting. And to celebrate it. So in the Jewish tradition, there's two candles, right? And if I was organized, I would have two candles here on the stage today. And one candle represents remember. We remember. And one candle, the other candle, represents observe. So we remember where God has brought us from and where he's brought us to. And observe, we will still rest, we will protect, we will celebrate everything that God's done for us. And what does that mean for us today? Because like, I'm not Jewish. Is anyone here Jewish? Great, so I'm definitely right. What could this mean for us today? When we Sabbath, we remember that Jesus, in Christ, we have been brought out of slavery too. We remember and we observe. And for us, that slavery might be fear. Maybe that's just been a big thing in your life. Maybe it's been insecurity. Maybe there is some sin in your life and you're like, oh, why do I keep doing this? I don't want to keep doing this, but it's like I'm a slave to it. Have you ever felt like that? I have. So, and maybe it's, you know, your slavery to like a past rejection and you just can't get over it, or, you know, whatever it is for you. But it's Sabbath is when we remember that we are free. We remember that we're free and we celebrate it and watch over it and guard it. Because for God's people, Sabbath was to remember that you're free and to protect your freedom. And for you and I, that's how we're free in Christ now. Thank you, Jesus. So that we don't go back to the slavery that we've been rescued from. How often can we still do that? Even in this day and age, we can still go back to it. We don't go back to the fear. We don't go back to the people-pleasing. We don't go back to the addiction. We don't go back to the workaholism, whatever it is for you. Who knows that Egypt is like an archetype? Do you know what that means? It's like, that's what we're going to sing this song in a moment. You stepped into my Egypt. You took me by the hand. You marched me out in freedom into the promised land. So whatever Egypt is for you this morning, I thought it'd be amazing if we just had a moment and just remembered that we are free, and wherever we have returned to the slavery of what other people think, to the slavery of our perceived failure, whatever it is, this is a new day. And yes, Sabbath was instituted in the Old Testament, but Jesus has come along and said, actually, I'm here to give you rest. Don't go back to the things that were holding you. Don't go back and be a slave to that thing. I'm here to set you free. I'm here to give you rest. I wonder if you would stand with me for a moment. Because of Jesus, you are free from whatever Egypt represents to you this morning. Part of Sabbath is yes to rest and yes to delight, but it's also to remember that we are free and to observe and celebrate and protect our freedom. And sometimes that means saying to God, having a moment like we will now, saying to God, oh God, I have gone back to that. I'm a slave again to that. Will you help me? I've gone back to that thing that I said that you've rescued me from many times, and I've gone back to it. God, would you help me? John Mark Comer says, Sabbath is an act of resistance in a world that is in slavery to distraction and many things. It's a way of saying with your mind and body that you are not a slave to anyone or anything anymore. Sabbath, how good is it? So good. The spirit of Sabbath is to rest from working, from worrying, from wanting, knowing that we're not slaves anymore to anything that has held us down, so we can rest because we have been set free. Because we have been set free.